welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded at our online reflective prayer, which takes place each Monday and Wednesday at 9:15. The full recording can be found on our Facebook page. Today, our reflection is from our curate, the Reverend David Wilkie, entitled Wrong Assumptions.
Amen. The reading's from Jeremiah 22. We're going to start halfway through it. Thank you, Fabian.
Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherd who shepherd my people. It is you who have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you've not attended to them. So I will attend to you for your evil doings, says the Lord. Then I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the lands where I have driven them. I will bring them back to their fold. They shall be fruitful and multiply. I will raise up shepherds over them who will shepherd them. And they shall not fear any longer or be dismayed, nor shall any be missing, says the Lord. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. And this is the name by which he will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. Therefore, the days are surely coming, says the Lord, when it shall no longer be said, as the Lord lives, who brought the people of Israel up out of the land of Egypt, but As the Lord lives, who brought out and led the offspring of the house of Israel out of the land of the north and out of the lands where he had driven them, then they shall live in their own land.
John 12:1-11. Thanks, then.
6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii? And the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She brought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always will have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." When the great crowd of the Jews learned that he was there, they came not only because of Jesus, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests planned to put Lazarus to death as well, since it was on account of him that many of the Jews were deserting and believing in Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. So we have this amazing prophecy of the coming of Jesus from Jeremiah here, and it's like a real peak in the prophetic writings of Jeremiah. So, you know, he's saying you're not attending to your flock. He's having a go at the religious leaders, the people who are meant to be looking after Israel. Instead, there's ruled by injustice and oppression. And then he says, you know, the person who comes in the name of the Lord, the God, Lord of righteousness, and Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. Now, if you're in those days and you were living under Roman occupation, and you knew this prophecy, as they would, and I would definitely read into this prophecy that actually the Messiah was going to be someone who was raised up and would save you from the Roman oppression. Israel would live in safety and prosperity. It's the righteous, it's the just thing to do. And then as joining the Exodus story, just as there were slaves under Egypt and now slaves under Roman oppression, the taxes are high, life is hard, you want a leader to come in and save them. And then they shall live in their own land. I mean, these words must have such weight to them. in that context. And yet it's so easy to miss what's actually going to happen, isn't it? Like, Jesus understood all the writings about him, and he understood what was to come. So many people got it completely wrong. It was like a geopolitical stance instead of it being about sin and death and actually the greater thing that corrupts us and dehumanizes us and contorts creation. And Jesus was coming for a far greater purpose. So then we have 6 days before the Passover. So that's the Last Supper, and just before he goes to the crucifixion. And he's just journeyed up from Jericho, where he's raised Lazarus from the dead. And now he comes here, and Martha, his typical Martha, served. So we have the Mary and Martha thing that always happens. Mary sits at Jesus' feet, Martha serves. And Martha's like, why aren't you helping me? Because Mary is acting like a disciple at his feet. And that's the man's job. Whereas in this story now, Mary goes a step further. Now, maybe that was because it was a prophetic act, because somehow she knew that he was going to his death, and that's what Jesus hints at. But I wonder as well, she's just seen Lazarus raised from the dead, and she's just seen the most amazing thing happen, and that actually Jesus is something different. And so she gives her most precious, like, it's almost like an inheritance, this bottle of perfume. It's something that's meant to be passed down and only used in very occasional purposes, because it's very costly perfume. Instead, she anoints Jesus' feet and wipes her hair and his feet. And so obviously there's a bit of a stir about this. Now, letting your hair down in those days is another act, like Mary sitting at his feet as a male disciple is also like her letting down her hair is a huge act of like almost seduction for all the men in the room. It's like today, if someone was to come in and hitch up their dress up to their thighs, like it's a very revealing, very like thing. You don't do this in public. You just don't do this. And so she lowers her hair and wipes them on his feet. And so there's a real stir in the room, like, what's going on? And Judas Iscariot speaks what everyone might be thinking. It's so easy to take yourself out of the role of Judas here because of these brackets. So here we have, like, but Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him. You're like, oh, okay, he's a baddie. Why was his perfume not sold for 300 denarii, loads of money, and the money given to the poor? Because again, in brackets, he said this because he cared about, not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief and kept him a common person. He used to steal what was put into it. So it's easy to pretend not to be like Judas because of these brackets. But I wonder if the brackets weren't there. Actually, how many of us would think like that? If there was something lavish given to someone, and you think, it's so easy to think, actually, well, what about the food bank? What about Beeston? Or what about Open Door? You know, all these people that are in desperate need of the food crisis or the energy crisis. And then someone comes in and just like does something ridiculously lavish and over the top and like unnecessary and even wasteful. And I can't help but think, oh man, that's a bit over the top in the face of what's going on here. Like, you don't do that because so many people are going to be offended because they're struggling day to day. And that is, I think, that is how I would think seeing this event, because I don't really understand what Mary's doing. And I've had to be tight in my purse and my finances ever since, well, forever, because I've been a youth worker and a student for a long time and now a curate, and it always feels like you've got to watch your money. But here we have a real, like, Mary is just giving more, she's giving so much to Jesus in thanks. And that is such a wonderful picture. And I want to be more like Mary this morning. I want to be able to just be over the top. And Martha as well. I see myself as Martha all the time. I'll go and I'll work, I'll serve, I'll do things for people. And actually, do I take the time to sit at Jesus' feet? Do I take the time to do something that's just for him? And morning prayer is really good at getting me just to stop and listen and read the scriptures. But just to stop and actually just be with Jesus is something I do struggle with that. long walks help me, or runs. But there's still something about Mary that is inspiring here. And I can't help but think I'm more like Martha or even Judas. Although when I read the brackets, I don't want to be like Judas. And then we have, again, the religious leaders coming to the fore. And it's like the prophecy from Jeremiah. So they were all about the Messiah being a good Jew and then rescuing them almost violently from the oppression over the Romans. And Jesus was not doing that, and he was causing trouble. And because of Jesus and now Lazarus' story, they want to kill Lazarus, and later they kill Jesus. So it goes very wrong, this story, doesn't it? So let's pray this morning. Let's pray about how we are in this current climate, almost of fear, the energy crisis, of food, of just how we're managing. And then actually, what is it that we can be lavish about? What can we bring to Jesus? Maybe it's our time, our money, gifts. How can we be generous in a time of scarcity, I think is my prayer this morning. Lord, I thank you again for the scriptures, opening our eyes to you, Lord. We all have needs and wants of this world. We all want justice. We want peace. And Lord, would you help us to go about that in the right way? Would you help us to see what it is that you want us to do, Lord, in our lives, in our day-to-day, this morning? And God, I thank you for the characters in the Bible. They're so human, so real, with faults and things that have gone wrong. That it's just really helpful. It's good. I thank you for Mary. I thank you for Martha. I thank you for Judas as well. Lord, would you help us to be open our hearts to what you want to say to us this morning. And Lord, I'm most of all, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for that he could have sat on a throne. He could have gone into Jerusalem and be the popular king. But instead he chose the way of the cross. And as everyone was shouting and cheering Hosanna for him on Palm Sunday, laying out the red carpet for him, he had tears rolling down his cheeks because he knew what was happening. He knew what was to come. Lord, I thank you for him. I thank you for all that Jesus gave and that he continues to. And I thank you, Lord, that when he rose, he defeated the sin and death. He changed everything. And Lord, would you help us to join in with that change, with that new creation? Help us to remove ourselves from our current circumstance enough to be able to glimpse the hope and vision of what is to come. Give us a new horizon, Lord, where it's not just about money, where it's not just about works. Give us a new horizon where we can sit at your feet and rejoice. Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website, www.stjamestaunton.co.uk, and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.